This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8 o'clock hour. It's a Friday. We want to hear from Michigan fans. As you're waking up from your slumber, as you're making your way into work, maybe a little groggy, what'd you take from that? Do you feel like, boy, this team finds ways to win? It's what March is all about. They can go on a run, I believe. Or is it, this team can't keep getting away with it. I know better. I love my team, but I don't think they're going to make it even another round. Where are you at? How far does this team go? 248-539-9797.
Well, we know you'll take the next opportunity to hate on them.
They're going to lose to Texas A&M. Did you hear that? The Aggies are going to gobble up all the offensive rebounds.
Not nearly as much of a stretch as the 12 over the 5.
The rematch of the 1995 Alamo Bowl.
Spread's only a couple points
Wow,
difference.
That one hurt, too. That was loud.
Yeah, that was
12th man was a real thing.
John?
Riverwalk was cool, though.
You haven't been afraid to call Michigan soft at times this season.
Texas Dusty A&M, May has called them soft.
Texas A&M's a tough team. They don't shoot well. They go into these lulls, but they're a tough team. So there's my selling point. Michigan loses their next game.
So this could be a carbon copy of Michigan-Nebraska, where you just go long stretches, painful stretches, where no one is scoring. And the opportunities to add to a lead, to create a lead, to get a lead, just simply aren't there because Texas A&M will go 4, 5, 6 minute stretches without scoring. They'll take shots, they'll just miss them, and they'll have these cold stretches. Well, so will Michigan. And that's what's frustrating is there are opportunities in every game. And this is what happens when you're talking about a team that's not a national, they're not built to win a national title. They're trying to make as deep a run as they possibly can. They'll end the season and look back and say, hey, what year one for Dusty May, win.
Sure.
But it's the frustration, and sometimes it's just college basketball right now where it's just not very good. And when you get two teams that struggle offensively, it could be a painful watch. That's why I referenced the Nebraska game. That might have been the worst college basketball game I've seen in a decade because it was brutally painful because there were so many opportunities where you could make a 2-point lead, a 4-point lead, but you didn't. Or you could make a 4-point lead, a 6 or an 8 or a 9-point lead, and you just didn't. And you just allowed a team to continue to hang around. And Texas A&M will hang around because they're aggressive. Mm-hmm. They're aggressive defensively, and they are aggressive on the boards. And if you're not hitting, they're not hitting. You're not getting second chances offensively.
And they are.
Yeah, that's where you enter the frustration stage.
For a team with 2 7-footers, you know, Michigan gives up offensive rebounds, and that would be the thing that A&M could do.
This is to topple
them.
One of the things that I can appreciate about Michigan State when I watch them play is they do the basics right. You shoot. What do you do after you shoot? You know where that ball is going more than anybody else. You follow your damn shot. And that's what somewhat frustrates me about Michigan. When a shooter shoots, now I know that there's things defensively. Hey, if your guard shoots and he's the first guy supposed to be back on defense, like you're not going to necessarily follow the shot. But when you're a 7-footer and you shoot a 3, follow your shot. like do the basics. And that's what frustrates me is there are opportunities for offensive rebounds. It's not like, I don't think Texas A&M just does such a great job of boxing out that they don't give you an opportunity. It's just that they want it more. Michigan State, that's one of the things that they do is they box out. They do the little things defensively, you know, on rebounds. They pass the ball. It's just, that's why I think they're a team that's built to go deeper. They're more talented. That's part of it.
248-539-9797. We'll check some ticket texts and phone calls from Michigan fans. We also just have some general takeaways from day one of the tournament. And I think the headline is kind of a dud.
Mm-hmm.
So 11 of the 16 games were 10-plus point scores.
Yeah.
Margins. The average game was decided by 15 points yesterday. And our only upsets, which is what we look for this time of year, are your classic 12-5, one of them, McNeese.
Picked it.
Yep. You did. You're all over it. You and the boombox guy.
Mm-hmm.
He has one bracket, so we can say that.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And the other one was 11 seed Drake. So we really
picked
haven't
it.
Seen.
Of course he did.
Pat yourself on the back. My point, though, is we didn't see a lot of close games. We didn't see some buzzer beaters. We didn't see some upsets. Kind of a dud, right? Which means today, we can't have back-to-back duds. Today is going to be a hell of a day.
So what was the best game yesterday?
Oddly enough, the game I enjoyed watching most was Arkansas and Kansas.
Yeah, same here.
And you said, you know, college basketball can be maddening at times. To watch Kansas break out a zone for like the first time all season.
Yeah.
And Arkansas acted like there were seven players on the floor.
What is offense?
Yeah.
What
do we do? Let's not put anybody in the middle. Let's just stand statically and throw the pass across the defense into the zone. It was crazy. And Calipari's not a new coach. He's been around long enough. But that game will now give us old school Italians going toe to toe in the second round. We get Patino and Calipari. So it all worked out.
Yeah, it'll be fun. That second round, that match, the coaching matchup is one of those that'll be fun. I as well thought the Arkansas-Kansas game was the best game yesterday because it was one of those that was back and forth. Good or bad, it was back and forth. And how about you kept hearing the stat, Hunter Dickinson has yet to score in the second half. Hunter Dickinson has yet to score in the second half. And then they get with like a minute left. Hunter Dickinson has yet to score in the second half. And then he shoots the three.
They were playing better without him in the game.
Yeah. And my wife, who had picked Kansas and I had picked Arkansas, so we had a little debate going back and forth, you know, a little needling here and there.
Yeah.
And she's like, "What? Who was Hunter Dickinson, Pat, throwing the ball to? Who was he throwing the ball to?"
She's getting mad.
She's getting mad. And then, oh, your seven-footer takes a three. Does he shoot threes? I'm like, actually, he does. Doesn't hit him a lot, but he does shoot them. And you know, brick. Building the house.
Feels like he's been playing since before COVID. Does he have? He has no more eligibility left, right? He's done.
I believe he was.
Was he playing before COVID? Playing
no.
Before,
no?
20,
no.
Like 21, that season was the first time I remember him. And I thought I remembered him being a true freshman, but...
Are we sure he didn't play with Trey Burke? I think he might have.
He might have committed to Tommy Amaker's Michigan team.
Let's talk some Michigan hoops with you guys. Alan Lavonia, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, morning, guys. Love the show. Yeah, the storylines of the turnovers and the missed free throws, they speak for themselves. And maybe you made this point. I've been in and out of my car. It wasn't just the nine or whatever free throws we missed, but so many of them were front ends. And
yeah.
Danny had three front ends. So it was the opportunity cost on the second ones we didn't get. So it was even worse than what the stats showed.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I did going into the Big Ten tournament. I mean, I wasn't really super optimistic, but they found a way. And there have been games where they won one of those with only six turnovers. There have been games when they shot free throws better. So I think they're capable of it. But the main thing is the point. They keep winning these close ones. The cheese gets binding at the end, and they find a way. And we got guys who are willing to take the shot. Trey is showing that. Vlad. And they got more than that. Plus, here's my last point, is they've had some more balanced scoring. You know, all seven or eight of the guys who are playing mm-hmm. are already getting on the score sheet, you know, between 5 and 14. So I think there's some good things. I mean, I'm not Pollyanna optimistic, but I am hopeful we'll win the next game. It's when we get into the Auburns and the MSUs down the road where I think it becomes tighter. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Al.
And thanks for the analogy. You,
yeah.
John
cheese
loves
gets binding.
The cheese binding.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a great analogy.
You heard that?
Well, I've felt it.
I like it as an analogy, though.
I haven't
you ever heard it that way.
Uh-huh.
A team coming together is like the cheese binding late in the game.
I do think that Michigan, I've had this thought about them. apparently, maybe they need to play like the Steve Nash Mavericks, where you shoot the ball in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. Not going to turn the ball over then.
Right.
I do think they got a little better in the second half of taking care of the basketball.
Yeah, I think only 5 turnovers in the second half.
Which is an improvement. Improvement, not perfection, is my
way. Ironically, that's when UC San Diego made their comeback.
Well, yeah.
But in regards to the front ends of the one-on-ones, and here's where the concern is with Texas A&M, a team that is fast, that is speed, like, they're just going to throw bodies at them. If we foul them, so what? If we get into the bonus, so what? They'll miss the front end of a one-on-one. Like, until you make a team pay, yeah, until you make them change their philosophy, that's just what they're going to do. They're going to keep throwing bodies at them.
248-539-9797. Ticket Texter says, can't lie, I like seeing Hunter Dickinson lose. One of the takeaways from the tournament.
I agree.
Someone said, we're still waiting on Jack Golke. Who's that guy going to be this season?
Yeah. And by the way, Hunter Dickinson's first year was COVID year, 2020.
Yeah, Texter points out, started in 2020. So yeah, he has been playing since COVID. Yeah. The Texter says, with Michigan, the refs didn't want to allow Golden to defend anything. How do you keep a game close when one team's bigger than the other? You ref the game like that. Mark in Huron Township.
We're going to go that route.
Look, I'll say this. I think there are a couple times of what he's referring to, Golden. I thought I saw him jump up vertically. Those are things he did in the Big Ten tournament. He got called in this game yesterday. There was a situation where the layup, very end of the game, one of their last possessions.
Not called.
He went over the back about 5 seconds early, which was also not called. Would have fouled him out. I'll call it a wash.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The game felt like he officiated it kind of ticky-tack for most of it, and then at the very end, just a complete...
Let him play.
Yeah, just go ahead, see what happens. And I think it favored Michigan because they have the size edge with Vlad at the end of the game.
And Tate Jones got fouled out on a ticky-tack call.
That was incredibly ticky-tack. That's their leading scorer, their best player. They played better without him on the floor, but I'm sure they would have liked to have him as an option down the stretch. 248-539-9797. We got thoughts on Michigan's game, and really the question is, do you feel like, boy, this is a team that figures out ways to win and you think they can go on a run? Or even as a big Michigan fan, you see they're gonna be bounced any day now because they just can't keep getting away with it. Bottom of the hour, 90% of Americans agree on something. That never happens.
Yeah,
it's 97.1.
Hey, if your furnace or AC isn't getting the job done, and maybe you've already turned on that AC a couple of times, we know that the heat's back on. I know you, Jimmy. Do what I did and call the team and the experts at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. Mastercraft has 24/7 emergency service, and they back their own work with a 5-year warranty. Now through April 15th, buy a new furnace or AC, and you're going to get half off of installation. They've got generators in stock as well. Call to schedule your free in-home estimate or check them out online at MastercraftHeating.com. That's Mastercraft Heating. .com.
Brian Bush, survive in advance. Late last night, the Wolverines come away with a nail biter. Up 14 at the half, but as Michigan basketball does, always makes it interesting. Always lets the other team back in the game. And the question we've asked Wolverine fans is, which statement better describes how you feel about your team? Boy, they find ways to win. That's what March is all about. They are in a position to go on a run here. Or they can't keep getting away with it. They're going to be eliminated here in short order. Because it's a little bit of both.
Yep.
That last night was everything Michigan basketball has been all season in a nutshell, in one game, in 40 minutes.
Exciting and a win.
And they win more than they lose. 11 straight wins in games decided by 4 or fewer. 13 on the season ties an NCAA record. So it's there for you. We are going to get into Heather's news and something that 90% of Americans agree on. 835. I feel like that doesn't exist.
Reaching across the aisle.
How about that? I hate to do this. We played Alex Bregman audio yesterday, and we said it was kind of a salt in the wound, him saying he was going to be in Detroit up until the last 30 minutes. There's not Bregman audio, but more audio that is salt in the wound. Now, John, you saw this article.
I did.
This is Detroit News. They have a Tigers podcast, and they had Al Avila on.
I read the printed version, and I then saw that it was in podcast form, and I thought, I can't listen to it as well.
So one member of the station already pulled the audio and used it for a topic. I'm sure you can guess who that was.
This is... Last name start and end with an R?
Ref Jeeger. So we do have the audio in the system. Let's play it here before we get to the news. This is Al Avila. There's two cuts. Just play them back to back, talking about chasing Correa, settling for Baez, and then even the red flags that Avila himself had before they paid Javi.
And boy, did he ever.
Well, it's just the hip. So now that the hip's good, everything will be all right. No, this is the point. Al Avila had his trusted sources saying, oh, he's going the wrong way, and they still gave him a six-year deal.
Yes.
And we're still paying for that.
With player opt-outs, no team options.
Right. Good for the player, bad for the team. And it all stemmed because it sounds like he didn't have the green light to chase Correa. So they needed a shortstop, and they paid a player they knew was flawed going the wrong way.
But it also kind of hedges bets on that one. Like, if I could have convinced the player, meaning Correa, I think I would have been able to also convince ownership.
Yeah.
And then we're left with, you know, the scraps, whatever's left. Well, we got to go out and sign somebody. This seemed like a very desperate move that even though people were telling him there, you know, he is falling off, like the swing and miss is there. It was, well, I'm going to gamble on this because I've got no other option.
Desperate's a great word. That's what it was.
It was a desperation move. And now he's gone and we're still living with Javi Baez.
Yeah, and expecting to see more Javi Baez. Okay, let me just put this out there. If you think we've been too negative with the Tigers, we're less than a week away from the season. We did try to inject some positivity. Odyssey Rewind, 7 o'clock hour.
Spin City.
Hey, we said maybe we're missing something. Let us know. ESPN says they're one of the breakout teams. Let us know. If you're a baseball guy or girl and you want to go back, it's in the Odyssey Rewind. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, Detroit has been named one of the top five pizza cities in America.
Uh-huh.
Pretty
yes.
Incredible. Detroit came in fourth place in a tie with Buffalo, New York, right behind Rochester, New York, Philadelphia, and Boston. But we came ahead of places like New Haven, Connecticut, Chicago, and even New York City.
You spent all that money.
You could have had
traveling
it right here.
Out east for pizza, and you could have just stayed here and had better pizza.
What I'll say, New Haven's got like two places that are very, very good. Detroit has awesome places, wall to wall, all over our city. Mm-hmm. They deserve to be ranked higher.
Yeah, so this was all according to Clever Real Estate, and they looked at a whole bunch of different metrics, right? The number of pizzerias per capita, the average price of a large cheese and pepperoni pizza, Google searches related to, I mean, they looked at all, and they surveyed people too. So we had a pizza passion score of 80.6 out of 100.
Oh,
strong.
Yeah.
Pizza passion.
Now, the thing is, though, is it does say, according to this survey, that Detroit was ranked number one in the past. So we've fallen a couple spots. We were number one in 2022 and 2023.
Probably because buddies went round.
You called them sellouts?
Did that happen everywhere?
No, I think it's only like two locations. Yeah, the test markets.
Okay, because they need to test it in Clarkston because I would eat it.
Okay.
Because Colin likes buddies a lot. I don't eat. I don't enjoy it.
Oh, I love the corners.
See, because I don't like
8 Square.
You don't like the deeper, but it's
no.
I love Detroit style pizza because you're right. You get the corner, you get the crunch, you still get the doughy. It's not a casserole like Chicago. It's
Let's not throw Chicago pizza too far under the bus.
Well, I noticed she didn't bring them up in the top five.
No,
and the other thing is, we also have, if you don't like the brick cheese Detroit style pizza, we have plenty of places that do your classic hand tossed pie or even the New York slices. We have a variety here.
We do. I do agree with that. Two Georgia football players were suspended indefinitely from all team activities on Thursday after being involved in driving-related arrests. So sophomore wide receiver Nitro Tuggle was arrested on reckless driving and speeding charges early Thursday.
Guy with the nickname Nitro.
I know.
We should have saw this coming.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then a freshman, Marquise Easley, was reportedly involved in a vehicle crash on Monday night. And Coach Kirby Smart has said that he has struggled to find ways to convince his players to slow down and drive safely.
I every time I see these headlines, I'm not surprised. It's always something. Yeah. And it's always speeding.
Yeah.
Yeah. The happiest country in the world is not the U.S. Every year since 2012, Gallup has put out a world happiness report, which ranks how people in more than 140 countries evaluate the quality of their lives. And for the 8th year in a row, Finland is number one. They are happy. Denmark, number two. Iceland, number three. And then the rest of the top 10, Sweden, the Netherlands, Costa Rica, Norway, Israel, Luxembourg, and Mexico. All the top five, or top 10. U.S., we're number 24 out of 147. So, relatively speaking, we're not like super unhappy. We're just not at the top. And this is our lowest rank since they've been doing this 12 years ago. So our happiness level has fallen over the past 12 years.
Mexico's in the top 10?
It is.
But we're still ranked. We got a number next to our name.
Well, why do they want to come here so bad?
We got to pick up a couple wins to move up in the AP top 25 here. We're hanging on by a thread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
KenPom likes U.S. though.
Oh, okay. There you go.
The least happy countries, Afghanistan, Sierra Leone, Lebanon, Zimbabwe.
Places you wouldn't vacation.
I would love to go to do a safari
would
in
you?
Zimbabwe. That is my like dream trip.
Huh.
Yeah. It will happen. It was going to happen a while ago and then...
Then you had kids.
Then things happened. Yeah, and then kids came into my world and ruined all my vacation plans. How dare they? Listen to this. According to a new survey, your age is a good indicator of how well you tip. Okay? So baby boomers, those are what, 61 to like 79-year-olds, mm-hmm. they're the worst tippers. They tip an average of 16.4%, and they're also the most likely age group to never tip. Mm.
What age group is that again?
61
baby boomers. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Millennials, on the other hand, are the best tippers.
Of course we are.
Averaging 19.49%.
Because they're living in mom's basement. They got nothing else to spend their money on. Excuse me?
I'm not living in my mom's basement.
Okay, maybe you guys aren't. You're the exception to the rule.
Well, the reason they're living in their mom's basement is because the boomers handed them a lousy situation.
We're also the most reliable tippers, Jim. We'll tip pretty much, you know, across
every
the board,
time,
whether
constant,
it's
yeah.
whether it's at a restaurant or a hotel or basically anything, we're good tippers. Followed by Gen Z. Gen X, John, which is yours, is up there right after baby boomers. So not great tippers, but not the worst.
Okay.
Anyway,
just a little more
then
logical.
The poll also looked at like which states have the best and worst tippers. Delaware is the best tipping state in all of the U.S., 21.25%.
What's the worst?
California and Washington are the lowest tipping states. And then I've got a couple other stats. 79% of us always or usually leave a tip at a sit-down place.
Yeah.
63% said they do the same at fast food restaurants.
What?
Really?
55% usually tip delivery drivers and 23% tip when you get takeout.
Sure.
7% of Americans say they never tip.
What percentage?
7.
Okay. A lot of numbers with tipping. In fact, we have a little more on that coming up next. It's 97.1. Hanging out on a Friday. Good morning. Thanks for hanging out with us. We got the cookie jar in an hour. 9 o'clock, we'll get back into the Michigan Wolverines and the tournament. John, you saw a study.
Yes.
Survey.
There was a new survey from Wallet Hub. This is one that, you know, we use their surveys quite a bit. And it found that nearly 9 in 10, 90% of Americans think that the tipping culture has gotten out of hand.
Show of hands, who in the studio thinks it's gotten out of hand?
All of us. Yes, 100% in the studio. Not that you shouldn't tip, but I think some of the numbers that you just shared in the news are ones where I would disagree with. Fast food. To me, that's not one where like you prepare the food, you hand it to somebody at the counter. What is the service? Like there's no table service. And so, when you order, like on the apps, I always make fun of the apps. You order the app and so that you can get there and pick it up. When you do, there's always this, on a lot of the apps, I don't think it's on all of them, but some of them have a spot to leave a tip. And it's the check the box. It's 10%, 15%, 18%, 20%. There's even one for like 25%. And I'm like, wait a second here. I'm just picking up fast food. I think just even being offered the opportunity seems like it's overdone.
Well, you see, the ones that get me more than the app, because I can do that in private. I hate when I'm picking up takeout. I get takeout quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And they swivel that iPad and they look at you like, you can leave a tip. And I'm like,
zero.
And then, then you got to sign it and swivel it back around, and they see right there. I hate that. The face to face.
Oh,
no, thank you.
You didn't leave a tip.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I think for pickup. Yeah.
But it's at places like self serve ice cream stores, and they do that. I'm like, I just created my own ice cream right here. I did this.
And then I had to wait for you to measure it.
Yes. And then you swivel your iPad around, and do I want to leave you a 20% tip? And I say, no, I don't like that when I'm like face to face. Yeah, I feel, and I don't think that they, and I think that servers are at places like that, they feel bad about it too. I think that they feel the same way, but
I still believe table service, when you go to a sit down restaurant and you're getting service, like, you get refills and, you know, is there anything you'd like? You like some more bread? All of that is 100% atypical. That's a tipping situation. Because you are being served,
always,
and it's I always start at 15%, and then if it's even marginally good, I'll usually go up to 20. The only time, and I usually never, I have gone out before where I leave less than maybe 10%, but that's if it's been a horrific experience.
Maybe this is where this generation thing comes in, because I'm surprised. I'm a 20% tipper
minimum.
Always, like, even if I have a bad experience, I mean, okay, if it's like
reward them for bad service,
I've never had such a bad experience where I feel like this was so awful, you deserve nothing. Like, I've never had
rare,
that,
but it has happened before.
So I'm always a 20%.
I feel like it was drilled into our, we're the same generation, millennials' heads, like, oh, you have to tip 20%
always. So, like,
even
that's
when you
my
said
15, baseline,
I'm going, 20, I would never tip 15%.
Me neither.
I don't know.
When did it jump up to like 20%? Like, that's the standard. Because I think, obviously, I wasn't tipping when I was growing up, but I remember it being like, okay, what's 10%? And then it was 15. Now it's 20.
It is. Well, okay. So the average, I have it in my little study. I think the overall average, like across the U.S., is 18.9%.
Which is probably why, and I always thought it was kind of a weird number, 18%. Why do they offer 18%?
Oh, like
as the automatic check the box.
They'll do like an 18, 20, 22. And like you said, some will even get crazier.
But there's
than
always
that.
Like a 15, a 18, a 20, and then a 25.
Yeah. I mean, as long as I've ever paid for food, so like 16 and up, basically you drive somewhere and you buy something. It was 10% times two, right? You move the decimal times two.
Times
so it was
two.
Always 20% is what I've pretty standard. But I understand the fatigue factor with it all, because I have no issue paying 20% at a sit down restaurant or on a delivery. Someone who's going to bring me food while I sit on my ass on my couch, fine, I'm going to give you a tip. But if it's one of these situations where I'm doing the work, I'm driving to pick it up, I'm building the ice cream, or I saw someone say, like a Subway, we built this sandwich together, buddy. I'm not tipping you 20%. Like, that's when it gets to be a bit much.
Yes, that's it.
You pick up an ice cream cone, and it's a $3 cone, and I got to tip you on that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just handing me the cone through the window?
Now, let me ask you this. So, like, when I get a coffee, right, it's black coffee. It's not a difficult thing to mix or make. It's literally put the cup under it, hit the spigot, and it's full. You put the lid on it. So I don't tip for that. Now, if you have an exotic drink where you're asking for light foam, light sugar, this sweetener, heavy this, heavy that, would that change your thought on tipping for a coffee drink?
My gut says no.
See, I would almost change on that, but I don't do it. But if I'm with somebody and they do that, where it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a lot of this, a lot of that, I would, if I'm ordering on an app, that's when I would actually include a tip for something like that.
Well, same kind of theory then. Okay, you're at a bar and you get a beer and they crack open the beer and they hand it to you. That's not the same thing as if they're muddling the mint or they're building your old fashioned. Yeah. Do you tip more based on what type of drink you order at a bar?
Oh, an old fashioned, definitely. A good old fashioned, that's going to get you a good tip.
Oh, that's your jam. So like you tip more on an old fashioned than a beer.
Sure. I don't think so.
It.
Yeah. I mean, at the bar, I normally, that's standard for me, 15%, even if it's just a bunch of beers. Because they're serving you. They're coming back, making sure that your drink is not empty. And the good bartenders will do that. Oh, looks like you're almost done. Would you like another one?
Yeah.
Why, yes, I would.
I feel like when I was younger and you go to get cheap drinks, the rule was like a dollar a drink. But now that ratio doesn't work. If you're like, some of these drinks are way more expensive
than
that.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Wait. Say that again. A dollar a drink?
Yeah.
For like a tip.
Yeah, like a tip.
Oh.
Like you give me this.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So you get like a $4, $5 drink. You throw a dollar on top. That's the tip. You had three or four drinks. You tip $3 or $4. But now if you go to some of these places, I mean, a cocktail's $10, $12, $15, $18. Yes. I've seen $18 cocktails.
Depends what you're ordering, isn't it?
Sure. Of course. So where do you draw the line? And I get why 90% of Americans think this has gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you guys at? 248-539-9797. Where do you draw your line with this stuff? And what is that line apparently?
Yeah, what 15%, is the line? Yeah.
20%?
Yeah, what is the appropriate tip? Standard to start with. Good takes you up, bad takes you down.
I always thought it was 20%. So
me too.
This article that I had also says the general rule for tipping is at least 15%. And when I read that, I thought, what? I thought it was at least 20%. So
when you said 18 is the average, to me, I read that as 20 is what we're doing and boomers are ticking it down to 18. Because you said they're the worst tippers.
They are.
So I feel like 20 is...
Got to have money for your bracket.
We doing the avocado toast reset here too? 248-539-9797. Steve in Berkeley, you're on 97.1.
Hey, Jim, you probably are aware of this being another season ticket holder, but at LCA, no matter what concessions you get, if I get a super slice from the Little Caesars, they bring up the screen option and it says, push the button to tip, and zero is not an option. It's like 10%, 18%,
other.
15%. And then you have to click other and then zero before they, you know. Great. Fantastic. Love that.
I've been there. You go, come on. I'm picking the slices right there. We're not doing this. Like, come on. I've been there,
awful.
Steve. Yeah, I think that's one of those that really gets you too. And he's right about them putting extra hoops to jump through because they want people to go, it's just easier to hit
10%.
Yeah. At least. Right.
Not 000, enter other, all the other hoops. Let's get to Kevin in Sterling Heights. Kevin, you're on 97.1.
Hey, a lot of the servers get only paid like $3 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a problem tipping servers, but someone who's getting paid a full wage, minimum wage, whatever it is, they're getting paid to do that job. Why do I tipping them more to do their job?
You're right.
It just doesn't make sense. And as far as the like LCA, all of those people working in the concessions are volunteers trying to raise money for a club or whatever. So they're looking at getting a tip so they can get more money for their club.
I don't think all of them are. I think some of them are LCA employees.
True. Some of the, at Ford Field, the ones that are outside businesses.
Oh, sure. That's
they
different.
They do have... Yeah, they do have, but I'm talking about, like, what's the one where they do with pulled pork and everything there at Ford Field? They have employees there, but they also have volunteers working to raise money for their club.
I won't dispute that some people, that's the case, but my understanding was most people are getting paid to work the concession stands when you go to the ballpark or you go to the football game.
Oh, yeah, and if I see, I mean, like, there's a bunch of kids there, and you could tell they're working to raise money for whether it's the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, their little league team, whatever it might be.
Fundraiser, whatever.
Yeah, you throw them a few extra dollars.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's just supporting your community.
I think his first point's an interesting one. There's this, like, understanding that when you go out to eat, the server's wage is low and they're dependent on tips.
Right. Tip dependent.
So when servers do, because isn't that going to pass or has it passed where servers are going to make minimum wage? So are we not going to be tipping anymore? Like, aren't servers going to be making way more money very
maybe
soon?
Maybe it's passed, but I don't think it's
in effect
yet.
Yeah, I don't know if it's caught up.
Because isn't that a thing? Isn't that coming?
Yes,
where
it was discussed.
Servers are going to be making whatever minimum wage is.
Right.
So is that going to change
how
you tip?
Is that going to be changing tipping culture?
You would think.
If you
or is it so
go
ingrained?
By what this man says, where you don't tip people who are being paid for their job.
But it's a good point by him because, I got to subsidize your employees? Just pay your employees, right? It's different with the servers and they have lower wages than the minimum wage. And that's part of kind of the contract between, patrons and restaurants is, we'll pay the tip because they're underpaid. But if they're not underpaid, then...
Did you guys ever work a tipped job? Have you ever worked one where you were receiving tips?
A paper route. Yeah.
Oh, people tipped you on paper routes?
Oh, yeah. This is back when it was not all, electrically paid. You actually had to go door to door to collect for the paper route.
You didn't just throw them from your bike?
Well, no, yeah, we'd throw the paper or I'd put the paper where they wanted it. So when I would go up and collect for the paper, they would say, "Hey, would you mind putting the paper on my front door, or would you put it in the mailbox?" No, no problem. And then you get the tip.
A lot of phone calls, a lot of your thoughts. 248-539-9797. 90% of Americans say tipping culture has gone too far. Where do you draw the line? It's 97.1. If you're injured in a car accident, you deserve someone who cares about you. It's KG Law. The phone number, 877-KG-CARES. Check them out online, 877-KG-CARES.com. Online, you'll see results, you'll see testimonials. But having talked to Lawrence KG, you know this guy cares about the people he helps. He started practicing law in Michigan, and he's done things differently by always putting clients' needs ahead of personal profit because he cares about you. The greatest satisfaction he has is helping clients get their life back while attaining, of course, the best settlement possible. That's a big part of this. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, call KG Law now. KGCares.com. That's spelled K-A-J-Y, KGCares.com. Survey from Wallet Hub says 90% of Americans think tipping culture has gone too far. Not that they're against tipping.
No.
But the instances, the frequency, how this has evolved, people aren't happy. You can't find 90% of people to agree on anything, but people have issues with tipping. And we talked about it. We got phone calls to get to. Top of the hour, we'll get into the Michigan Wolverines and some of the madness. 20% is kind of my thing.
Mm-hmm.
John, you said 15 is where you start.
Yeah, it's where I start. Yeah.
We're both going to tip when we go out and sit down at a restaurant. We're both going to tip when food gets delivered to our doorstep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But when we get the iPad flipped around and someone's just handing us something, that's when it feels excessive.
Yeah, fast food or you're doing the work. You order it, but you pick it up.
Yeah. And there's this idea, at least the way I've always looked at it, the server isn't getting even minimum wage. They rely on tips, so it's part of the social contract that we will tip.
Mm-hmm.
But people have brought up, well, what happens when someone isn't paid a server minimum wage?
They're paid actual wage.
Are we still tipping? Is it less? Is it not at all? What do we do? So there's all kinds of tipping questions, and we've got phone calls to get to. 248-539-9797. Paul in Harper Woods, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, I'm a home service tech, handyman. But what I've noticed just in the last 10 years is the amount of people who have been offering me tips after I get done completing the work. And about, you know, like I was telling the screener there that about 10 years ago, I started noticing this happening, and now it seems like every job that I go to, somebody, you know, saying, "Hey, you know, you did a great job. You know, what's my bill?" And, you know, you tell them the bill and they pay, and then they want to, you know, give you like an extra $50, $100 or something like that. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, depending on the neighborhood will determine if I take it or not. But for the most part, I don't take them because I'm comfortable with what I'm making, and I don't feel like I should be pulling any more out of anybody's pockets, whether they feel obligated to give it to me or not. So to me, tipping, it's just getting nuts, if you ask me. It's just getting way out of control.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wondered that as well. When somebody comes out to, you know, fix the heat, the AC, or, you know, something of that nature, when they leave, like, you're paying an hourly wage, and whatever your rate is.
I was going to say, and on top of that, first of all, okay, let's take your heating and cooling. Your service call is going to average about $160 just for the guy to pull in your driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Then if he has to pull out tools and stuff like that, now you're talking, you know, hourly, half hour, whatever, plus service call, plus parts and everything else like that. So in a heating and cooling cost, you could go easily $500-$600. Why does the homeowner now need to pull out another $50-$60 and say,
they
hey,
don't.
You did a great job. You know, you did your job. Woo, here you go.
I don't feel that way. Yeah,
I
agree with you. I don't know if that makes me old school too. I feel like you're paying the service charges, the fee for them to come out to start, and we've covered our bases there.
Yeah, you don't seem like an old school type.
Heather?
I definitely always question, like in my head,
is this something
you don't want to ask, like, am I supposed to tip you? But like, when I have people like that over, if we need somebody to come fix something, like, I'm like, okay, do I, don't I, what am I, like, yeah. I do question it in my head. Like, what is appropriate now? Am I supposed to tip? Am I not supposed to tip? I don't want to be rude and not tip. But I obviously don't want to be tipping if I'm not supposed to be tipping. I always question, do I tip or don't I?
They're paid for their time by their employer, or if they're self-employed, they set that rate.
Mm-hmm.
You agree to it, you pay it, and you don't have to tip on top of that.
Well, that's typically what I do, but I do...
You wonder. Always,
I wonder, well, because I don't want to be rude. More. And is this somebody I'm supposed to tip, or am I not supposed to tip?
When we moved, movers, they did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy with it. They communicated well. They showed up. They were very, you know, respectful to our stuff. And so when they were done and they hustled, that was one where I know what your rate is, but I'm also going to tip these guys a little bit extra individually, because they just did a great job. And I don't know if it was appropriate or inappropriate. I just felt like it was worth it because they did such a great job.
And I think it is. Like, that's something I think I would tip for.
Okay.
Especially if they're not ruining your stuff and they took good care of everything. Yeah. You'd give them a tip for that.
What about this next category? Brian and Warren, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, hi. And I've done the serving job, and I'll just tell you this. Nowadays, I don't think you should be tipping servers as much as like you may have in the past, because you have so many people. You have someone taking your order, it feels like someone bringing your water refills, someone food running. And it's like you see your actual server maybe once or twice the whole meal course. But the job I worked once that I got a whole new respect for was working in a car wash, because I was working the part at the end where you dry the cars off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting ripped off because people were tipping up at the front of the line when the cars entered. Guys weren't giving the tips out to the hardworking dudes like me who are drying the cars. So I always make sure when I come out, that's a physical job. Just like you said, John, with the moving guys,
mm-hmm.
I think jobs that have more of that physical labor edge to them, you should tip a little more to. And I think if every person put a buck in the guys at the end of the tunnel when they're drying your car, those guys would do pretty well, because they don't make, you know, health insurance but benefits or anything like that. But when it comes to that, John, it's like you said, I want to do something I want to do, not something I have to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so it's funny, like around here, and I know there are places that have dryers, you know, physical dryers at the end of car washes. It doesn't seem to be as prevalent, because you just have those blowers.
Oh, the car wash we go to always has people out with
towels drying.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They don't do a great job, but they're there.
Yeah. Well, there was one in Petoskey right across from the grocery store that I was always hit, and they would have dryers at the end. And that's actually when I would tip.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't tip at the front, I'd tip at the back.
I've never heard of somebody tipping before a car wash. I wonder if it's because they don't want to either roll down the window
because you might get sprayed.
You don't want the streaks because it's not fully dry. I mean, you can open your door clearly and hand it out the door, but I wonder if that's why. I've never heard of that.
I think you also want to be done. Like when it's done, you just want to drive off. Yeah. You've paid for the service. You've tipped on top of it. Has tipping gone too far? We've got a bunch of phone calls to get to. Phone lines are jamming up. We got room for a couple more, and we're going to mix in the Michigan Wolverine conversation. They won last night, late night. How do we feel about how this thing goes now? It's 97.1.